Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's happening with the Bravo Concert Series at the Knoxville Performing Arts Center? Let's go in depth with Dr. Randy Flack, member of the organizing committee. Well, Randy, you have some news to share about the Bravo Concert Series in Knoxville.
Yeah, Bob, due to some circumstances that we just weren't able to overcome, we've decided that we have to cancel our Bravo Concert Series for this year. And as far as we know right now, just disband altogether. We were having so much trouble finding someone to replace Jim Oberreckling as far as the technical part, the sound system and so forth, that we just felt it was impossible to go on. I don't think anybody realized, other than us, how much time it takes to work with the groups that come in to perform, as far as not only the performance that in the evenings, but the preparation, lining up equipment, making sure that all the groups have the equipment that they need, and then spending an entire day setting the equipment up with the help of Tony Ryder, but also for the sound check and all that extra work behind the scenes that goes on, that we really appreciated and we couldn't have done without. And without that volunteer assistance, we just decided we couldn't go on.
We should probably tell people that I've been part of the committee from the beginning, so I might know a little bit, and I would just want to be forthright with respect to this. But sort of COVID knocked the wind out of our sails too.
COVID really hurt us a lot. We had to cancel shows from more than a year ago, and this year we still had to reschedule some shows that we were hoping to have. And it's hard. While it was hard for us, just imagine the hurt that it caused for the performers. All of these people who their whole lives are dedicated to traveling around the country and performing in a variety of venues, large, small, what have you, and they weren't able to perform. Some because venues were shut down, some because they just didn't feel it was safe, and some traveling from California to Iowa, for example, they weren't willing to take that risk, and you can't blame them. So it not only is it hard on venues like Knoxville, but it's really hurt those performers and the people that work with them.
Well, and one of the concerns from the very beginning has been, bringing people together during COVID times for that live music experience or live entertainment experience, whatever it was, wasn't a good idea.
No, it wasn't. Sometimes you have to trust the science. And no, it just wasn't a safe situation. And I think maybe even heading into this next fall, it's you never know. It still might not have been advisable to have the types of crowds and audiences that we've had in the past. So there's still so many questions out there.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Dr. Randy Flack, member of the organizing committee with the Bravo Concert Series. Well, I know some people had bought tickets in advance. What happens with that?
For those people who have tickets and had spent money on tickets, we will refund the money. We're not sure of the exact details yet how that's going to occur, but it will occur, and we'll make sure that information does get out.
Okay, so we'll put it on the radio once we know all of that.
Yes.
Okay, because all that's...
This was a very recent decision that we had to reach. So it, it, while we don't have all the details worked out yet, we know that we have a commitment to make sure that those who purchase tickets will get a refund on their money.
We've had some great sponsors over the years, including some corporations in town, some individuals. Do you want to give a shout out to anybody in particular for their support?
Well, I certainly don't want to forget anyone, but Weiler, of course, was a big supporter. The Iowa State Savings Bank, when it was Iowa State Savings Bank. KNIA was a big supporter. You know, some big supporters weren't necessarily through finances. You know, the local newspapers did a great job of supporting our shows. We had many, especially the last year or two when we sold not only season tickets but memberships. There were several people who gave $500 or $1,000 to help us provide the shows that we wanted to provide. And we really, I don't know if we could have gone on without that support. And I think one of the couple of the things that I'm very proud of are the facts that a lot of our performers included students, gave presentations or workshops at the elementary and middle school and high school levels, oftentimes invited students to perform with them on stage. And also the fact that we had some performers who were outstanding in the field, and we were able to bring them to Knoxville, Iowa. Our initial performance with Simon Estes, of course, our only sellout, but why wouldn't that be a sellout? But we've had performers who have performed for presidents at Super Bowls, a magician who was a finalist on America's Got Talent. So our committee, I think, should be very proud of the fact that they brought really top-notch entertainers to Knoxville.
Well, it was fun. Whenever I could, I'd watch these talented individuals work with the kids. Mm-hmm. And I remember Second City, when they were here, they did something with, I think it was the middle school kids, about comedy. Second City, the comedy group, sure, that gave rise to Saturday Night Live. Lots of great comedians. But they were there teaching kids about timing, telling a story, how to improvise, and just watching these kids, and some of them I knew were pretty shy kids, really open up under the tutoring of these professionals. And the same kinds of things with music was going on too.
Yeah. I think just giving those kids a chance to see people who had made entertainment their lives was really eye-opening for some of our students who maybe in the back of their minds had that as an interest but just didn't know how to express themselves and didn't know what might be available out there.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Dr. Randy Flack, member of the organizing committee with the Bravo Concert Series. Well, there was an economic component too that was good for the community because people would come from all over. Mm-hmm. They'd often have dinner in town and then expose them to Knoxville, the great performing arts center. And so it was a little bit of an economic stimulus for the town, too. And that's what the arts do.
Yeah, I think those people coming to town, you know, we had a group of, I think it was a quartet of ladies, women come, and they had a following from Newton, from Des Moines, from several communities within 50, 75 miles. And those people bought season tickets so that they could get good seats for that performance. And like you said, yeah, those people came and ate in our restaurants. We had some performers who would go to Peachtree and just perform, have jam sessions just for fun. And Peachtree was able to advertise that a little bit and get some more people there too. So, It's hard to say we're coming to an end because I do think that we worked hard to provide some of these opportunities for our town.
How did it all begin?
Well, it all began, I guess, when we decided to put the Performing Arts Center at the high school And I remember, Penny Somar was one of them. Jackie Duffy was one of them. Our middle school music teacher at the time, Megan Phillips, I said, boy, we should really try to get some people in here. And they were enthusiastic about it, and so I kind of got involved with them, and we got a committee going, and quite by chance, Megan Phillips saw Simon Estes in a restaurant and told him about a new facility in Knoxville, and she had won the Simon Estes scholarship when she was a high school student, and he was more than thrilled to come. And I remember that we sold tickets for $50, I believe, and we were told, oh, you'll never sell tickets at that high price, but it was a sellout. And from that point on, we, I guess, got better organized and worked with Paul Ferrone, who lives in Ankeny, and worked for, he was Simon Estes's manager in this area. And he helped us get started and gave us a lot of assistance. And from his contacts, he would bring us lists of several and videos of several entertainers that he thought might interest us. And then Paul got a new job with Iowa State University and had to give up his work with us. But he had done such a magnificent job with us that we were able to carry on.
Well, and I've got to give kudos to you and your wife, Donna, because you went and you would go to different conferences and you would watch talent and then you would make recommendations to us and we would, you know, sit around and try to figure out who would be best to come here. And so that was a lot of effort on your part.
You know, that was something way out of my comfort level and as far as anything I'd ever done before. But the first conference we went to was in Milwaukee. And yeah, there were meetings and so forth during the day, but every night for 3 nights straight, from about 6 o'clock till 1 o'clock in the morning, dozens and dozens of performers, of all sorts. And Donna and I were amazed that first conference we went to. But the performers and their agents were so friendly and really wanted to please and almost do anything to get their acts out on the road. It was a great experience, and I thank Donna a lot because I couldn't have done that alone. But also I couldn't have done anything without the support of the committee, because we have a small committee, Bob, 6 or 7 people, and everybody did an awful lot of work. Selling tickets, greeting people at the door. And we had other volunteers, you know, to sell merchandise or serve as greeters, serve as ushers. So it was a nice community effort, I thought.
Well, and as you said earlier, I'll just remind people that refunds will be coming. Yes. We don't know exactly how or when, but when we figure it out, we'll announce it, yeah. Let people know. And as we close, do you have a favorite moment? A favorite time over these many years we've been doing this?
I think maybe the two favorite performances for the performances themselves, but I think the Colorado Children's Choir that we had, because they worked with so many elementary students and hundreds of elementary students got to perform with them. I thought that was so neat. And the Jimmy Walker performance that we provided tickets for veterans and active people in the military. That was terrific to me, but also he also worked with junior high kids, and those kids got to perform with him on stage that night, and Megan Phillips got to perform a song with him. So I think just providing those opportunities to elementary kids and to the veterans in our area, those are two of the highlights. But I honestly enjoyed all of the performers. They were all so great to work with. They wanted to do their best. They were gracious. They weren't difficult to work with. And so I think that's what made it so much fun for me.
Thanks to Dr. Randy Flack for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.